This is Midsummer Night's Dream 6, The Difference. If we have in mind, the mirror situation of which we found, especially in Othello, partially in The Merchant of Venice, but much less so, Brabantio had reasons to be angry with Othello. We know why, because he more or less stole his daughter from his house, and, you know, from his point of view, of course. Now, so Brabantio's opposition or anger or even charges against Othello are somehow motivated by the events, by, if you want, reality. Now, look at what Egeus says. As my and my gracious Duke, be it so, she will not hear before your grace consent to marry with Demetrius. I beg the ancient privilege of Athens. As she is mine, I may dispose of her, which shall be either to this gentleman or to her death, according to our law, immediately provided in that case. So the law in Athens, and Athens is apparently the location of reason, of brightness, of rationality, of the law, of order. So there is, in this Athens, a law which says that if the daughter does not obey the father and marry the man that the father has chosen for her, she is mine, I may dispose of her. So she is an object possessed by the father. The law of Athens decrees that either she marries the man that the father wants her to marry, or to her death, or she dies. So the father wants death as punishment for his daughter. And this gives you the idea that Athens is, after all, not such an ordered place. It is actually a violent place of male tyranny after female wish or desire. Okay, so a deeply aggressive male society. We have just seen Hippolyta being won by Theseus with his sword. So this idea that men, you know, males and females are involved in situations and relationships where male violence is, you know, the dominant element, and which prevails and forces women and female characters to accept somehow, or somehow to submit themselves to male authority. This is what we see here in Athens. And not only that, but we see a violence, physical violence, that we saw a sword, injuries were mentioned, and here the father says either she obeys and marries Demetrius, who is the man I want for her, or she goes to die. So what a place. And Theseus here, so, you know, Aegeus is one of those complaining and angry fathers who, you know, says, if she fails to comply with my desire, my will, punishment for her is death. A father wishing the daughter to die unless she obeys him. This is as far as patriarchal power and violence goes. We haven't seen anything like this. We haven't seen that in The Merchant of Venice. We haven't seen that in Othello. So Midsummer Night's Dream opens with something, you know, a very similar situation, but pushed to an extreme which we would not expect in such a lovely, or a play with such a lovely title, A Midsummer Night's Dream. And Theseus, who represents here culture, the reasonable man, the ideal ruler, confirms and says, "What say you, Hermia? Be advised, fair maid. To you, your father should be as God. One that composed your beauties, yet, yes, and one to whom you are but as a form in wax, by him imprinted, and within his power to leave the figure, to leave the figure or disfigure it." So he has utter, limitless power over you. He made you, and he can undo you, disfigure you, the way he wants. Okay. Demetrius is a worthy gentleman, continues Theseus. And Hermia says, so is Lysander. And Theseus says, in himself he is, but in this kind, wanting your father's voice, the other must be held the worthier. This is an important moment, because the point here, and this is the difference I was referring to at the beginning of this specific audio, is that the whole point of the Lysander-Demetrius opposition in the play is that it is obvious from the very beginning that there's no difference between Lysander and Demetrius. These two characters are utterly interchangeable. And the characters keep stressing that. You know, Theseus has said, she says, so is Lysander. Demetrius is worthy, and so is Lysander. And Theseus says, yes, he is. But because he does not have your father's approval, then the other one is worthier. So it is clear to everybody that given that these two gentlemen are exactly the same, why would you prefer one to the other? What's the reason why Hermia loves Lysander? We don't know, because love is irrational. And what is the reason why Aegeus prefers Demetrius? We don't know. None. There's no reason. He's just as irrational in his fixation for Demetrius as Hermia is in her love for Lysander, only that Hermia is the one who is entitled to choose. So this is another moment in which, or maybe the first, in which we realize that the whole theme of the irrationality and uncontrollability and instability and unpredictability and unexplainability of love and desire in humans are what makes us or them human. There's no way to understand and explain and motivate. It is about the absence of motivations, you know, the irrationality of passions, the passion of a daughter and the passion of a father.